Go to 702.co.za now to enter the 2020 Dis-Chem Brain of 702. Sponsored by Dis-Chem, promises to care.
Brendan Garbutt joining us in studio is the Managing Director of Capital Legacy. The importance of protecting your savings and investments through effective estate planning and administration is becoming more important. We may be getting it right from a point of view of more South Africans leaving a will behind. At one stage, up to 70% of working South Africans didn't even have a last will and testament when they died, causing all sorts of anguish, not only for the loved ones that they leave behind when they pass on, but also the legal eagles that have to try and untangle what in many instances ends up being a financial scrambled egg. Brendan, how are those numbers nowadays? I mean, you're in the business of making sure people have a will. How's business?
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for this opportunity, Nicholas. So if we actually look at the stats, I actually think they were actually quite flattering there, that 70% of people don't actually have a will.
But what's the actual number? Because, you know, you get one study one year, the next year it seems to be a little bit better. I know about a decade ago, that was in the 80s, the last time I heard, is a percentage of people that don't have a will. That's astonishing.
It is, and it's actually is closer to the 80, 85% currently at the moment. We often do talks where we go into various companies, various organizations, where we like to educate the employees about why it is important to have a will. And it's quite amazing that you'll sit in a room of 20, 50 people, and I always start the conversation off by saying, okay, please raise your hand, someone who has an up-to-date and valid will. And it's very sparse in terms of one or two hands actually shoot up. And I think that actually just epitomizes one of the problems that we're actually facing. People don't want to admit that they're going to die. People have the Superman effect. And it's also, you know, I'll do it later. It's something that I'll look after later.
Well, let's be honest. Nobody really wants to think about dying and what the, you know, what's going to happen when they're no longer here, especially if you are trying to leave something behind and plan for the moments that your family are going to go through when you're no longer there to protect them, provide for them. What about people that maybe have wills but just haven't kept them up to date? Because as far as I understand, a will is not like a bottle of milk. It doesn't go off. Yeah. But it's, you know, circumstances change. And as a result, you should also change your will and estate planning.
100%, Nicholas. So if we, what we do at Capital Legacy is we generally go through financial advisors, and encourage financial advisors to use us to get wills done for their clients. And we generally encourage that either update your will every year or look at your will to update every will every year. And if there's a life-changing moment that's actually happening in your life, definitely get in touch with your financial advisor or with Capital Legacy to obviously make sure that the will is updated to accommodate the change that's occurred.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit later about those life-changing moments where you got to relook at your will. But let's get back to absolute basics. I'm sure there's a couple of people listening right now that are like, yo, I still haven't done that will, and I'm so happy that I'm listening to Brendan and Nicholas. If you have any questions, get a dialing now, 011-883-0702. We'll start with the basics, though. Can I write my own will and get someone to witness and then, I don't know, give it to someone that I trust, and in the event that I do croak, they pull out this, I don't know, executive pad that I scribbled down a couple of things on, signed, got some witnesses. Is that valid?
Yes. So, Nicholas, there are various reasons or items that actually make a will valid. First of all, a will can be any piece of paper that you actually leave or you write what you intend to happen to your assets when you pass away. As long as you have a witness to witness that will, obviously a will is invalid if that witness is actually one of the beneficiaries within the will. So always when you're drafting a will, please make sure that you are actually guided by either your financial advisor or whoever is assisting you from a legal side to make sure that the will is valid, that it follows the quality control process. And as I said, a simple one is to make sure that the person witnessing is actually not one of the beneficiaries within the will.
Where is your first point of call, though? Like I mentioned earlier, you're in the business of ensuring people have wills, proper, decent estate planning. But what would it be? Would it be a financial advisor? Would it be an attorney?
So there are many avenues, Nicholas, for drafting a will. And from Capital Legacy side, all that we always encourage is please get a will done. But there's a lot of tools online where people can go and draft wills. And we don't totally believe in that because we have the saying, you don't know what you don't know. And often you are drafting a will online and there's a certain question and you're not sure of how to answer it. So we always encourage you to go through a professional. We generally always encourage you to go through your financial advisor. Reason being, a financial advisor is looking after your finances. So who else would be in a better position to help you draft the will and make sure that what you intend to happen with your finances actually follows through? But from Capital Legacy side, whether you go through a financial advisor, through a lawyer, or directly with us, as long as you get the will done by a professional, that you feel secure and safe and know that when you pass away, the intended assets that you want to go to those beneficiaries will actually go to the intended people.
Let's be honest, there's a fairly decent business in this, right? I mean, you wouldn't have a company to speak of if there wasn't. What's the basics that you should consider when appointing someone to draft a will, whether or not it's your financial advisor, your attorney, or a company like Capital Legacy?
So I always coin a phrase that there's a golden thread when doing any financial advice. And I've tried to, in many talks, come across and get people to understand what that means. So traditionally with financial advice, what has happened is a financial advisor will come and he'll go through your financial needs analysis or an F&A. From that, he'll determine what is needed for retirement planning and estate planning, and he'll do a recommendation for investments and for life cover. But that for me is just the middle part of the golden thread. How all good financial planning actually starts with the will. So what we encourage is start with the will, go through to doing the F&A, where you'll come up with retirement planning for when you obviously retire, through to estate planning, which is obviously when you pass away. But a lot of people think that's where it ends. And where we come into play is what happens post-death. Who looks after the beneficiaries once you have passed away? And our industry has sort of always ended at that part of once you pass away. And where we've obviously put it, found a new market or changed the market, is we look after what happens post-death and making sure that the intended transfer of assets to those beneficiaries happens the way that you actually wanted it. And that's why I encourage the golden thread from the will all the way through financial planning to post-death and making sure that your beneficiaries are looked after.
Joining me in studio, Brandon Garbutt, Managing Director at Capital Legacy. Get your calls in now for estate planning, writing a will, what should go in your last will and testament. If you have any questions, 011-883-0702. Never say never, right? Because you obviously don't want to think about it all the time, but should something happen, are you prepared to ensure that the little nest egg that you've put away for you, your loved ones, your family, your wife, your kids, your husband, it's not only well protected, but is dispersed in the right way. Number to dial, 011-883-0702, SMS is into 31702 and 072-702-1702 on WhatsApp. And you can also always tweet us at Nicholas Bauer on twitter.com. So we have gotten to the point where we have written this will. How much can we expect the person handling our will to be paid? Because that's also another incentive for people, handling wills, financial advisors, companies like yours doing wills. I mean, what's the standard percentage that you would go for when handling someone's last will and testament, becoming the executor?
Yeah. So, Nicholas, a problem that's actually occurred is financial advisors have done a fantastic job at looking after a person's retirement and their estate planning for when they pass away to make sure that their loved ones from a day-to-day living is looked after. But what often actually happens is people forget the costs to wind up an estate. And what I mean by that is an executor is a person who obviously winds up their estate. And to do that, there's a fair amount of work. And they're allowed to charge a fee, which we call an executive fee. And the standard executive fee in South Africa is 3.5% of the gross estate. That's excluding VAT. And often people say, well, that's not too bad, 3.5%. But what we like to do is we actually like to put that in rand terms. So a quick example, if you got a 2 million rand estate, 3.5% plus VAT, you're looking at 80,000, 82,000 if my maths correct, in terms of a fee that needs to be paid to the executor. Now, if you haven't...
So is that even before people that you owe money to, other debtors, before they come knocking on anybody's door for payment from this estate, that's what you're looking at?
So, yes. So once we wind up the estate, creditors will obviously come to you. You'll obviously have to pay them, your biggest one being SARS. SARS, unfortunately or fortunately, is always first in the queue, but it is a legal cost. And there are various sources of legal costs, one being executor fee, one being the conveyancing fee, one being testamentary trust fees, which I'll touch on. But these are fees that people don't think of. People always think, well, if I pass away, you know, what does my spouse need to live from a day-to-day basis, month-to-month basis? What do I need to leave to the family? But they forget all these legal costs to wind up the estate. So you have the unintended consequence of, you say, well, I've taken out a 2 million rand life policy and that should be fine. But it's 2 million rand life policy and then your executor comes, here's 2 million rand, but can I have 80,000 rand to pay for my costs? And it's not a nice conversation to actually have, but you actually haven't thought about that when you were actually doing your planning for when you pass on.
If you just joined us, Brandon Garbutt, Managing Director, Capital Legacy, joining us on the line. I want to talk about the big stuff now. How do I ensure that the property I have, the shares I have, the savings I have, go in the right direction and are preserved correctly? But before we do, Lindsay and Ennerdale's got a question. Lindsay?
Yes. I just want to say I also have a Capital Legacy policy. Very proud of it. It's a good policy. At least I won't have any problems when, well, I wouldn't have any problems. Wife wouldn't have any problems should I go. I just want to find that the validity of the how long is the will valid for? That's what I want to know.
Okay, thank you very much for that one, Lindsay. Let's see what Brendan has to say. I mean, do they ever go off?
No. So I think I heard Lindsay's question correct. It was a bit quiet, yeah. But no, your will is valid. Your latest drafted will is the will that is that an executor will look at to use to wind up your estate. So often what happens is people say, well, I have a will or my spouse had a will, but they were unaware that there was a second will drafted later on. And your second will would be the latest one would actually be the one that is valid. But in terms of how long will the will last? Well, your will always last until you pass away.
But it's always the most recent will. Like, I mean, if someone produces a will after someone's died and then, you know, the executor begins the process of divvying up that estate, if someone comes at a later stage and says, whoa, I've got a will that was signed on this person's deathbed. Well, I mean, if that can be proved that it was done with all his mental their mental faculties in state, then obviously that will would take precedence.
100%. If that will was passed quality control checks in terms of it's a valid and up to date will, and it was the last will drafted, that would actually be the one that would be valid.
So let's get into those big things now. I've got property, I've got shares, and this is, of course, all hypothetical. This is not me. But say I do. I've had a long, fulfilling life. I've worked very hard. I've put money away, and I've created a nest egg for myself. Circumstances realize that I'm no longer there to enjoy that nest egg, and I'm going to leave it behind. How can poor estate planning affect those savings, those investments that you've built up over an entire lifetime if you haven't properly looked after your estate planning?
So what we always obviously encourage, and this is why we say often when people go online to draft a will, they don't know what they don't know, okay? And I'm going to give a few examples. So I've already discussed executor fees and two other legal costs which cause quite a burden on the individual is conveyancing. So conveyancing fees, it means a transfer of property. And we often are in the scenario where there's a husband and wife and they share in the property 50-50. And what happens is when we go to wind up the estate, the spouse will say, well, it's fine, we'll just transfer the property to me and I'll take over 100%. But by law, you actually have to transfer that 50% over to the beneficiary so that they obviously own it 100%. And a conveyancing attorney has to do that. And I don't know about you, Nicholas, but I don't know an attorney who does it for free.
And yeah, well, I mean, you don't go to a shoe store and get shoes for free. I mean, that was the analogy my attorney colleague said to me the other day. Don't expect legal advice or anything legal for free.
100%. And so what actually happens is the attorney obviously has to transfer the property from the 50% to the 100%, and they'll charge a tariff. The law society tariffs that they usually go by is what they're going to charge. And an example being, again, let's take a property of 1.5 million. You're probably looking at a cost of around about 20 to 22,000 rand. That's, again, a cost that will come out of what you've left in your estate, whether it be your shares, whether it be your savings, your investments, that you thought was going to go to other beneficiaries, is now being used to pay for the conveyancing. Another big one, and it's actually one that people do not think about a lot, is a testamentary trust and testamentary trust fees. What do I mean by testamentary trust? So what happens is when you want to leave money to a minor, minors cannot inherit money if they're under the age of 18. So what we encourage is that you set up a testamentary trust. What this trust does is upon your death is created, and along with the trustees will obviously look after the beneficiaries and obviously pay them up to a certain age. So the trust can last however many years you actually want it to. The average in South Africa, the average age that a trust will cease is about 24, 25. And there's actually a fee that trustees can charge for this. So many companies have an upfront charge for the assets that go into the trust. Capital Legacy, we don't, but many companies actually do. But trustees have an ongoing fee. Now, let's take a child who's 10, 11 years old, and the trust needs to last till they're 25. So you're looking at a 14, 15-year term. You're looking at a roundabout fees of R250,000 that is
just
going to be coming out of that.
Just to keep that trust going.
Out of a 2 million rand estate, okay, you're looking at R250,000 just to make sure that that trust has been run correctly. Now, this, again, is an unintended consequence of what you haven't thought about. So you thought that you're leaving money to your beneficiaries, to your kids, but there's unintended consequence of paying a cost to actually run that. Other people often come and they say to me, no, that's fine, I'll leave it to a guardian. The problem with the guardian is, and we've seen some horror stories, where they say, no, don't worry, I'll leave it to my brother or my sister or my uncle and aunt, and they'll look after the kids. And you know, when people change when money hits. And we've often found within a year or two that money that was left to look after the kids, to put them through school, to make sure they go to varsity,
has been blown
because they've come up with it. They've now become big entrepreneurs and they've invested into various businesses. They're driving the brand new Range Rover, thinking they'll make it back. And it's become problematic. Another thing which is a problem when you leave money to a guardian is a problem that faces South Africans, a lot of single moms. Now, in South Africa, if you were to leave your money to your child, okay, and they're under 18, and there's no testamentary trust set up, it goes to the legal guardian. Now, you might say, I'll leave it to granny, she must be the legal guardian. But the father of the child actually can go to court and win and become the legal guardian.
And then in the eyes of the law, what's left in the will to the legal guardian becomes the ex-spouses.
100%. And now they are in charge of the money to look after the child. And that is not what you actually wanted. So we obviously encourage for a testamentary trust to be set up. But along with a testamentary trust comes with costs. Mm. And that's why we talked about that golden thread of proper financial planning, so that when you pass on, it's not just when you die, there's life cover paid out. It's to look after your beneficiaries once you're gone.
So, Brandon, we'll get to how we can structure an estate in such a way that you can also leave something behind, maybe to absorb the costs of a testamentary trust that you were talking about and the other options that you may have. But we're going to get to a call now. Sibongile in Vanderbijl Park. Sibongile, you have a question about... You have a question about contestation, Sibongile.
I'd like to inquire how one can go about if you have a will and there's somebody who is contesting, even if she's contesting losing the case. Now what she's busy trying, she wants to win the will illegally. And then find that there are papers which disappeared at the bank, and there are papers also that disappeared at the court. and then what must one do about it?
Okay, Sibongile, thank you very much for that one there. You want any more information there, Brandon?
Yeah, I think
thank
I
you. I'm listening from the radio. Thank you.
Thank you, Sibongile. So shoot, go ahead.
Thanks, Sibongile. Yeah, so in terms of contesting a will, so I mean, we have it all the time where people obviously contest a will. A will is pretty much ironclad if it meets all the actual quality control elements. But we often have it where it's contested, and you obviously get contested with the master of the courts, and you actually have to prove that that will is invalid for certain reasons. And there's certain things that actually can overturn the will, like dependence. So, for instance, if you have a dependent or you have a few dependents, so minor children, but you've left all your life covers or actually you've left your whole estate to a choice of better phrase, a floozy, okay?
Someone that's come in during injury time and has got their name onto the will.
100%.
By hook or by crook.
By hook or by crook. We've seen that a lot. And that can actually be then contested because you can go to the master of the courts and they'll actually say no, that the dependents are actually the ones that actually the money should go to or the estate should actually look after. We've actually had one or two horror stories that I'd actually just like to tell the listeners is when people haven't done proper financial planning, how it can actually impact the beneficiaries. We had a case where there was a husband and wife, they obviously got divorced, and there was a child, and the husband started seeing someone else, and he obviously married the second wife, and what happened was the estate was left to the beneficiary, which was the child in this case, and he had taken out life cover for a few million rand, and he had left the beneficiary of the life cover to his second wife. But now when he passed away, what actually happened? The estate goes to the child, obviously, so you think that's great, but he had a house that still had a bond on it. So now the child is actually liable for the bond on the house.
And how does a 10-year-old become liable for a bond?
So the unintended consequence was he was hoping that the life cover would actually cover the bond. But when he made the beneficiary, he made it to the second wife. Yeah, it's not easy to go to the second wife and go, hi, you just got a check for a few million rand. Can we please take X amount of it to pay for the bond? Because that's the right thing to do. And we obviously had to, I mean, the second spouse was not having any of it. And we actually had to go, luckily, at a pension fund, and we actually went to the trustees of the pension fund to actually release the money that was also supposed to go to the spouse to say...
To absorb the cover of the bond. Yeah?
To overturn it and obviously to pay into the estate to cover the bond.
Fascinating stuff how things can all go pear-shaped when you pass away and no longer are there to tell exactly where you want the funds, the nest egg that you've built up, to go to the people that you thought would need it most. We've got Brendan Gubbett, Managing Director at Capital Legacy, in studio here. We get a couple of WhatsApp questions in. You can also send us a voice note on 0727021702. Anonymous, I think he's a bit angry. Can I state in my will that the executor must ensure that certain people must not get anything, and I mean nothing, from my late estate, and name those people?
So in terms of will, I mean, we have a lot of requests that actually come into wills, and from please, can you make sure that X amount of money is put to the side to look after my horses on a certain stud farm and make sure that my animals are looked after. So these bequests that come in, you obviously got to, from an executive point of view, look at that. He can state that in the will, he or she can state that in the will anonymous, but if they can prove, like I've said, that it's a dependent, they actually can be taken to the master of the courts and it can be overturned. But if they want to state that and they're very angry about a certain individual, you know, we have
it's
that in
start.
Wills. It's a start, yeah.
Okay, another question in here on the WhatsApp line. Remember, keep those questions coming in, 0727021702. Jill's not asking a question. She says, remember, where there's a will, there will always be a relative. I'm sure you've heard that one before.
Yes, no, we have. And they do come out the woodwork.
I should imagine so. how do I ensure that I have enough money in the kitty of my will or my residue estate to take care of all these little nasty surprises? Not only the executor's fee, you said, you know, roughly speaking, doing the maths and a 2 million rand left behind executive's fee will be in the region of 80 grand. But when you have like a testamentary trust,
yes,
in your estate or other costs that will all of a sudden come through once you pass away, all of the debt that you may have thought that you even paid off, that also, I suppose, comes popping out of the woodwork.
Yeah, so again, that's where I actually really encourage the listeners to seek a professional, whether it be through a lawyer, through Capital Legacy, or through their financial advisor. And as I said, we use financial advisors a lot. And what we encourage is proper financial planning. So instead of just saying, let's look after the life covers, that your day-to-day costs are looked after, what a lot of people do is they worry about taxes. You know, everyone talks about estate duty and everyone talks about CGT as things that need to be looked after. And you often take out life cover to cover that, which is fantastic. And we encourage that from a financial planning point of view. But we also encourage to look after the legal costs that I've discussed. And there are two ways or a couple of ways to sort that out. Firstly, take out more life cover and actually put that aside to say that that's what I want to cover, my executive fees, my conveyancing, etc. What we do from a Capital Legacy point of view is because we're an integrated business, what do I mean by that? We're the people who draft the will, to we the people who have a policy in place to look after that, to the people who actually wind it up. It's a whole integrated process. And what we do is we indemnify you for those costs because we're the ones who are winding it up. So we actually take on the cost. We indemnify you if you obviously come to us and you take out what we have, a legacy protection plan. And it generally comes out a lot cheaper than taking out life cover. But as I said, there's two alternatives. You can take out life cover, which obviously becomes expensive later on as you get older. Or you can come to us where we indemnify the costs.
We'll get into the costs of winding up an estate, not only from an executive's point of view, but also how you go about proving that you're a debtor to someone's estate. Greg and Innerdale, I see you. We will be getting to you after we go and pay the rent.
40 years of talking, 40 years of listening, and we're not done yet.
Welcome back. Niklas Bauer with you on the Finance Matters slot on 702 for the curious. We've got in studio with us Brandon Gabbard, Managing Director at Capital Legacy. We're talking wills and testaments. And Greg and Innerdale, you've been patiently waiting. What's your question?
Good evening, gentlemen. My father passed in 2002. And the executive dragged his feet to wind up this will. In fact, up to now, it's not wound up. But consequently to that, in dragging his feet, the masters lost my father's will. I got a copy. When my father passed on, I wrote a letter to the master to give me a copy as well. So I'm sitting with a copy of it. But that's the only existing copy. Nobody else has one. What do we do in a situation like this?
Oh, that sounds hectic. I mean, I've heard of dockets going missing. Mm. Not so much on wills.
Unfortunately, I think it actually happens a bit more than you are aware of. Before I actually get to the listener's question, it's quite pertinent to actually just understand of how many times people try and doctor wills. You often see people have got hold of a will and they may be changing page 3 or page 4 on the will. What we've obviously done from Capital Legacy point of view is that we actually have a scanned copy, you know, electronic scanner to make sure that we know which version is actually used, and there's obviously a copy kept. But getting back to the listener's question, well, first of all, I'd like to say, well, would you like to come and visit us so that we can obviously come and we can obviously assist you? But from a winding up of an estate, it should take between, we always say in the industry, roundabout, if it's quite smooth and property goes through and it's quite clean from a SARS point of view, it should take 9 months to a year to wind up the estate. So it's very worrying that the listeners actually had this going on since 2002. What actually can happen is if they actually have a copy of the will, in constitutional law in South Africa, you actually need the original to actually get through. But what can happen is you can actually apply to the constitutional court to actually have the copy verified, and we can actually wind it up. So I'd actually just like to encourage the listener. I'll give my details after the show, and you can give me a shout, and we can see what we can do to assist him.
All right, Greg and Annadale, thank you very much for the call there. Now we get to go north of our border to Botswana. Rose, good evening. Hello,
hi.
Rose.
Hi. Sorry, thanks for taking my call.
Please, go ahead, Rose.
Hi. Okay, so my husband and I live in Botswana, and we have investments and things in South Africa. We've got a will covering all of those. We own property in Botswana. Do we need to have a separate will to cover our assets in Botswana?
Hi, Rosa. Thanks for the call. So what we often do for South African residents, I don't know if you're a South African resident.
Yes, South African citizen, but permanent resident in Botswana.
Okay. So what we do is we've got a facility or a will at Capital Legacy, which is called a worldwide will, which will obviously cover most assets around the world. But often we do say to people, if they have certain assets in other countries, to have a second will. So if you don't have a will, or your will doesn't cover your assets in Botswana, I would actually encourage you to have that will. Or you could actually do a will in South Africa, where we will actually draft the worldwide will, which will include that asset, and you'd actually just have one will that would cover your assets here in South Africa as well as Botswana. But the choice is yours.
All right, Rose, I hope that answers your questions. Any follow-ups?
It does. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Rose.
Rose in Botswana, thank you very much. Obviously, listening on streaming audio, you can listen wherever you are, close to an internet connection, 702.co.za. We're talking about wills, estates, how to plan properly. I still want to get to the nitty-gritty of, if you could plan to leave one thing behind, what would it be? Maybe we'll leave that for the last one, especially since we've got such great questions on the WhatsApp line. I would like to know, according to Anonymous, when does a will become public and who can ask to read the will? And where do you go to request this? And this question really is pertinent because I know very recently of a family. Father hasn't been estranged, but since divorcing the mom maybe 15, 20 years ago, moved down to Cape Town. They didn't see each other that often, the children and the dad anymore. And then the dad suddenly died. And the new wife says there's nothing in the will. And they're asking for the will, but she's not providing it.
So, yes, the will is for public domain. Once it is with the master of the courts, it's public knowledge. You can actually request for that. So it's a simple answer there. Yes, you actually can request to see the will. It is in the public domain.
Justin in Boksburg asks, what happens if I die and I own a house, a car, and a couple of bucks in the bank, but I don't have a will? Will my spouse be able to sell those assets quickly?
So by law, it would always fall into your estate. You would pass away, and what we call in the industry, you'd pass away interstate. And it happens more often than you think, where we actually have to apply for executorship. And once we get that letter of executorship, we then obviously wind up the estate and treat it like a normal estate. But then there's certain laws that we need to follow in terms of where the assets follow.
Get your calls in now, 011-883-0702. Catherine and Joburg, I'm going to get to you in a moment. But Sfisa on the WhatsApp line, keep those questions coming in, 072-702-1702. He says his dad had a will and Standard Bank Estates is the executor. The process started in 2016. To date, we don't know what the delay is. Calls go unanswered, emails not answered. We've had all sorts of excuses. When you go to them, you get an apology and then they assign you someone new. 6 months later, you bank on the same frustration. Is it possible to ask a bank nominated as an executor to hand over all files and we'll find a lawyer or someone else to do it?
So it's quite unfortunate to hear for Sofiso with that. It's quite difficult to get a bank to what we call in the industry to renunciate. That means they actually give up the executorship to pass it on. You can apply for this, and you can actually have to go through a legal battle. You actually have to apply with the master to have Standard Bank renunciate the will and move it to somewhere else, whether it's to ourselves or whether it's to an attorney. It is a difficult process, but it is able to do.
All right, Catherine in Joburg, your question for Brandon.
Good evening. First, I've got a question. I've got a sister. We are the last surviving children of our parents, late parents. She fought a title deed. And on that title deed, I'm written as a niece, whilst I'm the daughter as well. And she refused to give me the copy. In fact, I had to take a picture of that copy. So how do I go about this?
How do you go about what exactly, Catherine? Just zone in on a little bit on the question.
The procedure, because of I queried why was I written on the title deed as a niece while I'm the daughter.
So when you refer to the title deed, are you trying to ask how to contest a will, Catherine?
Sort of, because that's the only thing that we are left with.
Okay. I mean, what's the basics there? If you want to contest a will, what's the ABCs?
Okay, so I mean, as per our previous caller that called in, you are able to contest a will. You'd have to contest it with the master, and you'd actually have to prove the reason for contesting it. I'm not too sure on the title deed. You'd have to prove that when the title deed was drawn up, that it was drawn up incorrectly. I mean, if you're the daughter and it's loaded and you put down as a niece, I think you have a certain grounds to stand on. But I think that's sort of two different sides. That's the title deed and then what we're talking about in terms of contesting the will.
All right, Catherine, I hope that answers some of your questions. We got Vuyelwa in Bedford View. Vuyelwa?
Evening. We just lost my mom in December, so we just want to find out if she made a will, how do we find out? Because we've got no clue if she did it. But what do we know? The house is written with grandchild's name. Colonel grandchild's name.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Vuyelwa. What's the easy answer, if there is one, to that?
Sorry to hear for your loss. For you, I know it's a difficult time straight after December. Is the question along, how do you get a will, or how do they draft a will?
No. How do you know if there was a will? They have no idea at this point in time that there was one.
Yeah, so that's a big problem that often happens, is that people draft wills and they don't let anyone know that there is a will, or that where is the will kept. You would actually have to check with the family, have to check with loved ones, find out, have to check with the banks. Maybe she did it through the banks. But yeah, there would be no real way of actually finding out. What we're actually trying to push for from an industry perspective, from Capital Legacy, is to have a central wills registry office. Where we actually want to push that all the wills actually registered at one central place. So if the person passes away, you can actually check for if there's a will.
So we have nothing like that at this point in time?
No, people often check with the banks. They often check in terms of with home affairs. What often happens is often banks, or what we often do at Capital Legacy, is what we call, we ping home affairs to find out if someone's passed away. And there we can obviously check, well, we have a valid will and they've passed away. So family could obviously check through that way. But unless they actually know where the will actually is.
Actual physical document is not going to happen.
So what we actually do is we actually encourage, because we do face-to-face consultation. What we obviously do is we encourage you to actually print two or three copies. Remember, an original doesn't mean there's one copy. You can actually sign two or three original copies. We always say maybe keep one safe for yourself, give one obviously to us at Capital Legacy or the attorney or financial advisor that you've drafted the will with, that you always know that there is a valid will in place, an original will, and let someone in your family know, let your spouse know, let your kids know.
All right, time almost running out for you to get your questions in on estate planning, the importance of protecting your savings, your assets when you do die, and try and leave it behind. With us in studio, Brandon Gubbett, Managing Director of Capital Legacy. So let's get into the nitty-gritty now. I've got property, I've got shares, I've got all these little different things. Does the approach differ if you have a very diverse estate that's made up of all these different components, some cash, some shares, some property, and the like, or... Is it a cookie cutter approach when it comes to big wills, small wills, and everything in between?
So what's quite fascinating, Niklas, is we actually have made comments at Capital Legacy where the larger estates are actually the easier estates to wind up than the smaller estates. And the reason for that is generally people with large estates in their will have divided up the assets quite evenly amongst whoever the beneficiaries are, and it's clearly stated. On the smaller estates, the small amount of money that has to go around to often many beneficiaries. And this is obviously where people, a lot of family infighting happens. That's the first point. The second one, it doesn't have to be complicated because you have a lot of assets. If it is going into just your estate and that's where you want it, we'll actually lump it together in terms of your estate, and whatever the value of your estate is, we'll obviously pay out to obviously the beneficiaries. What often people do is they might have separate life covers. Life covers do not form part of your estate, and they'll obviously pay out to the beneficiaries of the life cover. We obviously administer what actually happens within the estate.
Okay. Bethel and Akuruleni, I think you might be our last one. Bethel?
Yes. I think I'm just asking if it's not cheaper to die without a will because it's a bit expensive, as we have just indicated in your, your discussion with other questions. If the estate is under 250,000.
Dying without a will. I mean, is that even an option, Brennan?
Yeah, that's not cheaper because you don't have to pay all these other amounts that you have just referred to.
Okay, thanks for that one, Bethel. What's the thoughts on Bethel's question there? If you're dealing with a small estate, what's the easiest, most effective way to deal with
it? So remember, a will is not just about monetary. It's not just about assets. It's where your final wishes want to be. So things like, where would you like, who's going to look after your children? Who's going to be the guardian of your children? It's not just always a monetary thing. That's where people often get the mistake. They say, I don't need a will because I don't have any assets. But what we actually have to do is make sure that there's different parts of your life. Money is one part of them. The other is the social side, and the social side or social economic side. And that could be who looks after members of your family, especially if they are minors. So no matter if there's assets or not, I do encourage everyone to always have a will. If there is nothing to actually wind up and you, we still need to know where to, if there's minors, where are they going? Who's going to look after the kids along that side?
All right, we've got one or two questions here on the WhatsApp line we want to try and get here. Do crypto assets have to be included in wills yet, or are they still to be dealt with outside of the system privately?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And in the last 2 years, it's become extremely prevalent where people have been leaving cryptocurrency in their will. The tricky part around cryptocurrency is, remember, there is a password to access your cryptocurrency. So if you do not let someone know what that password is, or you haven't stated what that password is, it actually means nothing, because you could say, Niklas, I want to leave you my Bitcoin. And you say, great, how do I access it? No one's got the code.
And that just disappears.
So if you've got cryptocurrency, yes, put it in your will, but please make sure that someone knows that password so that we can access it.
Here's a quick one here. I took funeral cover for my family and two brothers. They're having their own wills with their own beneficiaries. If they die, who's going to get their money? Because it's me that's paying for them monthly.
Okay, so read the question again.
So she took funeral cover for her family and two brothers with the option of having their own wills with their own beneficiaries. If they die, who's going to get the money? Because it's me that's paying for them monthly. I think it's the funeral cover and the whole plan.
Yeah. So if she took out the funeral plan and on the plan was for her family, then if they were to pass away, we would obviously pay out to the nominated beneficiary, which I assume would be either her or someone in the family, and that would obviously pay for the funeral.
We've got an interesting question in here. What about the tiny things? Mom's china set, you know, dad's axe, dad's you know, whiskey tumblers, granddad's watch. You know, how do you ensure that those things get divvied up properly? Because it's once again, physical things that can easily disappear, or we don't know where it is.
So what's quite funny is it's amazing. We deal with massive estates, and there's millions in terms of assets that are available to the beneficiaries. And it's that small thing. It is that China set. It is that watch that the fight actually happens over with the family. And we actually sit back and we go, you do realize there is a couple of million that needs to be divvied up, but you're worried about the China set. So it's very important to people. And what we always encourage is to have a letter of wishes that we attach to the will.
That are very clear. Right?
That are very clear and say, Nicholas, I want you to take granddad's gold watch. We attach to the will as a letter of wishes. We don't put it in the will. It's just attached to the will.
Right. I would love to speak to you for another hour about estate planning. I think we managed to scratch the surface and get it through the important stuff. Brendan, how do we get a hold of you, Capital Legacy, and start planning our estate properly?
From a Capital Legacy point of view, you can go onto our website, www.capitallegacy.co.za. Or I will leave my details here with the station. People are happy. I'm more than happy for people to give me a shout. All I encourage all our listeners to do is if you don't have a will, please make sure you don't wait. You don't leave it. Get a will done tomorrow. Please go to speak to your financial advisor. Say to your financial advisor, please, I need to draft my will, and tell them to draft it through Capital Legacy.
Okay. Brendan Gabbett, Managing Director at Capital Legacy.